We need to get you guys to sleep on time. I was asked to make sure that everyone's tucked in by 11:30.
You finish all that.
So,
Rabbi, how do we have a
vodka
tonight?
It has to be
done. He's going to listen to it with Hanan Meyerhoff on.
No, he actually touched it.
All right, fine. You could listen. The kid listens live if he wants.
Well, I'm going to touch him.
But anyway, if anyone, I prepared a topic just in case you guys chickened out. But I give you guys a chance. This topic that has to be.
Look, Rabbi Sabi, please.
Really what?
You
should learn what's one of my share.
Oh.
You guys are spying.
It's never do it. It's not normal.
I just found kind of an issue. It has to be good for a kid to talk in like 7th grade in the Nat Chosher.
That what?
It has to be good for a kid to talk in 7th grade in the Nat Chosher track.
Oh. No, I'm not saying it's not Chosher.
It's Chosher and more Chosher.
They're called
honors and more honors.
No, not all and echo. Let's ask the guys who went through it. Did you feel that way? I think the kasha is better than the his kasha is good, but lemaisa, it only works because you have people like Rabbi Gita who beetzem make sure that they don't feel that way.
Yeah, it's a regular for 4 years.
I mean.
Both of our base
measures
started off in the
time.
Right.
That's the bad
started off as a hard
move. I don't know if that's true.
Started off as a very resistant.
As a reference like that?
Yeah, if you had spent a half a year or a year.
No, 2 years.
I would say it's a different majority.
But the answer to your question is because it's administered not with that kavana. It doesn't translate. If the key one is the mana would hold that way, these are the, the schlepper track, and then in the chame it would probably come out. But because they're doing it totally for the right reasons, so it doesn't come out. I assume it's because that the Kivan is correct, so it doesn't come out that way. I think that's the answer. Okay, what other questions you got?
Right, so if someone's not ready with the Rebbe's,
I heard once from a Gadol Mechanech that every student learns if there's has to be held accountable. If there's no accountability, you're talking about camp. There's no accountability, it's camp learning group. I run. Tell them about camp learning group.
What's it kind of? If you fail a test, they don't care.
It's not that.
Yeah, they do.
You're holding them accountable.
I'm holding you responsible. I do that only. By the way, if any of you guys tell any of my students any of these tricks, I will never talk to you again. Okay. I learned the Gemara like we just did. It's like a hard step, but Ashara Shamandu Onish Minayin, Time Lama the Pasuk. Okay, it's like middle of nowhere step. What's it doing exactly? So after went through Kor, they didn't know anything. I did different than every other Rebbe because I didn't start with Daf Chaf and Daf Lamed Aleph and Daf Ches, and I didn't teach them literature. They didn't know the Pasuk of Yishol Chosa. I didn't teach anything. I started with Chamesh Esrei Nashim, but I did straight. And as things came up, I did it. So there, I'm doing it the way the Gemara says it. If anyone wants to make a new Masechta and get it passed by the Muetzes, I'll teach that Masechta. But
you're arguing on
I'm a simple guy. Pashto Yid. I open Yevamos. I start from that base. I'm just telling you, I started Yevamos that base. So Mela, these things coming up. So I did Azhara Shamanu Onish Minayin. The learning Venichusa for the first time. I know it's 2 months in. Learning Venichusa for the first time, maybe second time. So So after I talked to them, I told them, okay, guys, you are now, as of this second, fully responsible for onesh of Karis for all 15 arayas. That's all I need to say. What was that again? I said, you're now fully responsible. No, not that. That's what you said before. And I told them, they're responsible. I didn't tell them I'm testing on it. I didn't tell them anything. So the fact that there's someone there who's telling you you're responsible. I also, another thing is, anything that's hard, so I'm starting Seydo Chalosa say now. So that's not easy. Easy Gemara is to do. As though say, I told them on the first day of the year, this is where it helps to be calculated. On the first day of the year, I told them, guys, when we get to Gimel Nabez, the bottom, that Gemara cannot be learned with Hefsekim, with interruptions, because there's so many Limudim, and if you do every 5 days another one, and you have Shabbos, then you don't remember what you did. We have to learn them all. We have to go through all the Aseh Docha Lo Seseh steps, and without interruptions. We're going to have to pick one night, we're going to do an all-nighter, and we're going to go through 3.5 lot. It goes through the whole... No, I didn't start yet. The whole Gemara. And I remind them, like every week I remind them, okay, we're getting closer. Like, what's it? It's November 13th today. Yeah. So we started August 29th. So it's September, October. It's 2.5 months. Like, the year's almost over. Whatever. We started today. We're starting tomorrow. Timer. Okay, we're starting timer. And I tell the guys, tomorrow we're starting the Gemara, and it could be after, I'll see you after tomorrow, depending on the schedule. It could be this Thursday night will be the night of the... So yeah, I'm going to do it. Of course I'm going to do it. I don't know. I'm doing it because they should feel that sometimes you have to put in extra. You do. You have to put in extra. Do I think it will help? How long will they last? I used to have guys, you know, come to my house to learn. So I was telling this to Avram Aminov tonight. I said, you came to my house. Now I told him, I haven't even told him. Came to my house. You remember we came to my house to learn? He goes, yeah, Rebbe, it was unbelievable. So now I'm going to tell you, now that you're 20, almost 22, I'm going to tell you that in my house, you ate for 40 minutes, you schmoozed for 12 minutes, you learned for 7 minutes, and then you left. But in your mind, that you came to Rebbe's house and you learned night seder at my house.
It's
a good thing. I did it so that they should feel that they had a gevaldik night seder.
What about actually learning?
They went, was that shot at all the guys' house?
But when we don't look in yeshiva, we learn a whole hour. But here, they got a good.
I was thinking that night seder means 7 minutes a night.
That particular night. But we're going to learn. I'm going to do 3 block with them. That's a shame. So the guys asked me, you're learning with high school guys. If you want to be very successful, and I would understand if you just, you know, they ask you to do a half hour or 25 minutes, you do the 25 minutes, I can't stop preparing for it. Okay. You're not getting paid a lot of money for this. So, you know, it could be only so much you want to put in, but... If you want to prepare a little bit and to have clarity, you come in on with your guy and know what you're doing every day. You know what they're up to. Ask the Rebbe in advance. You know what's happening this week, and tell them, guys. You know, you have one guy, two guys, one guy.
Said,
today we're doing this.
Same class, no?
I want to get this straight and make sure at the end of the thing. At the end of today, I need to know Claire. You're doing it for you.
Yeah, you cover. He wants to see it. I want to
talk. Let me tell you.
Let me know what's just
here. It's early in the morning.
Yeah, Kavusa can't concentrate. He's sleeping. He came last night. How do you deal with that? And go sleep at 12. Okay, but Rebbe, a ring of Roy just works for like a 12th grader who cops. A ninth grader that's fresh in high school. How do you get into his head of Roy?
Speak to me in private. I think there may be some work to do with the Rebbe.
Could I make an appointment, Rebbe?
What does that mean with the Rebbe?
Does Rebbe know who the Rebbe is?
Yeah, I don't know if it's specifically the Rebbe.
What?
I don't know if it's specifically the Rebbe.
No, I don't know the Rebbe's fault, but there's things he could say to the Rebbe that would help.
I'm saying, Stam, from a high schooler's point of view, this is 25 minutes. I'm not a Chori. I've been doing a shiur. The Rebbe said, reaches me to tomorrow. This is a bila for me. It's not a necessity. Meaning, if they don't pay attention to that, they might date a little, but they're still doing the death of material 100% otherwise. So Rebbe's a teacher in class. I just class it myself. I do whatever I want in order to get it clear for a test. Maybe the day before a test, I'll want to get it clear. Any other day? I don't know.
If you form some sort of relationship with him, he would feel guilty doing that.
Yeah. Tell the guy, I only want to do it if we have to learn, right? You want to sleep. Why not? No problem. The Rebbe told me, I have to learn with someone, so if you want to sleep, I don't mind him. I'm not your teacher. I don't mind. The other guys asked me to learn, so I'll learn with them. You don't have to put up with that. You're not getting paid enough for that.
Yeah, I don't have to put up with why. I don't have to get put up with
that type of computer. I'm going to have a conversation and head down. I think you should tell it. You're not equipped to tell the Rebbe. You're not equipped to be a hard time to tell the Rebbe, but you could tell Rebbe Winter to tell the Rebbe that, you know, tell me what, to get you to the Harusa that wants to learn. We'll also speak to you in private. I have a couple of ideas also.
Private.
I'm not saying in public.
He'll put it on the Rebbe.
What?
Okay, what else we got?
Where's the bar for having Mishabura Seder before breakfast?
Kol Hashon Halacha Kol Yom Muftak Lo Shuben Olma.
Oh, Yadi.
What?
Why not? So, why not?
It's a fact.
Seems like very arbitrary.
The rest of the day we learn Gemara, which is
all.
We
were asking for the 12th grade because they want to learn with Teacher Halacha Seder, right? That's what the Hakana Fed related.
You want to know, like, before the Kovitz Chaim about Mishabura, what did they learn? You want to know before the Chavetz Chaim?
Why is it Dafka before breakfast? Why do we learn Dafka before breakfast? Why do we learn Dafka before breakfast? That will, I think that's why we learn.
Why does Night Center end 10:45?
No one knows that.
Why does Night Center end 10:45?
That's a great question. Say it louder.
Why in the world is there an answer if I don't have no one can hear it?
That's what they're fixing today.
Why is there a beating
of the time? I said so
close.
How are these kind of questions?
That's a fair question.
That is.
We're just schmoozing. There's not much learning here. Except last 7 minutes.
How do you defend against the charge of nepotism in the science system?
Who's
charged?
No, I'm serious. What's a high schooler that sees about all the time here in that every rebbe is a son of someone. Every
they don't study the lineage of
Chabad. Also, why does yeshiva have a color trip policy?
Does it not lead high schoolers to think that if you're
What they want a job?
What? No, but maybe they start not trusting.
How did our dad Mr. differs from other?
Why does nepotism create that they don't trust?
Because
it seems like
every single
other
yeshiva
has
are somehow related.
They marry.
No, that'd be silly.
Maybe they'll marry a Naaman.
What's the best way to inspire?
Chakras?
Get out of bed. And more, how much you can try doing it. I mean, tons of guys, like the vast majority of guys, start getting serious, maybe 12th grade, usually, right?
Yeah. I was telling Judah Beck, who's took over the chemistry teaching.
Mr. Beck.
Mr. Beck. That he's a secular studies teacher. He doesn't need to schmooze with them. Or anything else, he needs to teach chemistry. You have to hold them accountable and tell them that they're responsible for the work, and that you're going to know how they're doing, and you're going to report it, and you'll help them. It's hard. Chemistry is hard. You're going to help them, and hopefully at the end of the year, they're going to know chemistry. You're prepared to help them, but if they're responsible for the work, you'll be there to help them, but they're responsible. And just be prepared and come in and teach. So ultimately, no, reach no, it works. Ultimately,
I have never worked English teacher. Like nobody should be in any class tomorrow. Right?
Did you, when you left the class, did you think it was a joke? The class?
Obviously,
yeah.
That means the teacher wasn't prepared.
We had a ridiculous teacher. We didn't think it was a joke, but
right, right, because you were makshiv Gemara very much, but
we learned it.
Huh?
But we didn't learn it
in Gemara.
It was a joke. We didn't learn it.
In Gemara.
Yeah.
That's a masking of Gemara.
I
don't know. We're just going around the circles.
Yeah, so what is nepotism?
Like, the classic kind of comes from really the Pasuk Chanukah and Kitarko. So how does Rebbe really figure out each kid, like his derech? Like, where are their lines that say, okay, maybe this would be his derech, but that's too outside of the box? Necessarily can't be kind of this kid like that, because that would just be not good for him, or too extreme in one way or something.
And this might surprise you, but I don't think I have different approaches to chinuch for different kids.
Each kid is
just,
different scenario.
Just, yeah, I mean, I would speak to kids differently. Like one guy, you know, needs more attention. The other guy needs more, you know, something else. So. It's just human, just, you know, people skill. It's just utilized in the classroom. People think you're a great mechanic, but, you know, if you speak to people, it develops that. Well, I'll tell you a mice. When many years ago, I was in camp, so there was one guy, I was one of the assistant counselors, so I was privy to all the Lashon Hara about everyone. So there was one guy who was touted as the biggest fellow least likely to develop any seichel. Had no seichel. Was a counselor and had no seichel. No seichel is no seichel. There's no seichel. No common sense. This guy.
Is he an idiot or is he a cop, sir?
He doesn't. Simple people skills.
Doesn't click in his head.
Doesn't click. Yeah. So. So, okay, the people skill. So you think that this guy would be a loser deraisa, right? That this guy is a very successful mechanech, and he got one of the best shaduchim in the yeshiva.
It's rated best.
Yeah, it's rated
shaduch. He's very successful, and he developed a shame for having seichel. Now, how do you do that?
What grade did we call him not having seichel?
I don't know. I don't want to say any more.
Many of the
identifying
was
features.
Like second or left?
Whatever, not relevant. So
it was a counselor.
So the thing is like this: if a person hangs around, first of all, if he learned for, you know, more than 10 years. He learned, and when you see Shaka Vitaria, you work on Shaka Vitaria, you know, Gemara and Rashi, Abai and Rava, what's a kasha, what's not a kasha, and you work. No. It really helps with a lot of seichel. It helps with asking normal questions. You see what's a normal question, what's not a normal question. Kasha, teretz, just working on simple pshat. I was telling over my chavrus, who's not a Chavetz Chaim guy, so he's hearing all these... Maiselach, like blowing him away. I told him last night that the kasha always has to be better than the teretz. Okay, the kasha has to always be better than the teretz. So he said, "Why? Kasha is better than teretz?" I said, "Yeah, because if you ask a silly kasha and you say there's big teretz, so you say like mehechi tesi, it's a dumb kasha. So who said your teretz is right?" Your kasha is dumb, so don't say your teretz. So if the kasha is stark, it's really stark, so what are you going to say? You got to say something. What are you going to rip out a page of Gemara? In order to say Pshat the Mishnah, you have to say a Dochik Teretz, that is Chesurim Mechzorah. But the Chesurim Mechzorah only comes about because you have such a bomb Kasha, and we don't, our Masorah is, we don't rip out Mishnayos and tear them up. So you have, sometimes it's so Dochik, you have to, the only thing you can add is Chesurim Mechzorah. He was so pumped, he was so excited about this.
He
was so excited, and he was bringing me rayas. Today, Rashi, we're learning it in our Ripsachim, so Rashi has a kasha, and he gives the teretz, and he said over what the kasha, why the kasha was better, because Pashtas, the teretz, is better than the kasha. But he said a whole pshat why the kasha is better than the teretz. I said, you're right. You're right. No, he's right. But so I'm just telling you, learning itself brings out a lot of skills, and you know, and most of the people. So that does help. The Chanoch L'Nar Pidarko, I don't know when that applies. I saw in one of the I don't know if it's Rabbi Lubin Sefer, I saw somewhere it says that the Gemara in Kedushin says that Tzemachokas by Chanoch L'Nar Pidarko is it Nogea from 16 to 22, when's the Ikra Chinuch? 16 to 18, 24, right. 16, 22 or 18, 24. So a lot of people think that by the time a kid graduates high school, the Chinuch is done, you're a waste of time, it's over. Yeah,
Chinuch 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 Chinuch
Chinuch Chinuch Chinuch Chinuch
I didn't see it recently. You check it out for me. So, that means you still, you know, we're still in the game. You know, there was a maisa that the stipler had a seder with Reb Chaim, and they had a seder kavua. You know, the Kanievskis were pretty stark on if keeping a seder, you better keep it. And one time, Reb Chaim told the stipler that he couldn't make the Seder that next morning because there was a Russian Baal Tshuva, and he promised him he would go to a bris. He's making a bris. He told him he had to go there at that time, and he's not going to be able to Seder. So that next morning, the stipler was davening by Letterman Shul. And I don't know, that's the way the story goes. And he was davening. And they waited for the stipler. They waited for him for Shemana Esrei, and he took like 10 times longer than usual. He was davening. You know, they waited like 25 minutes. So after davening, one person was close to the stipler. It asked him, "Is everything okay? The Rashiv is, you know, was davening for someone." So he said, "Yeah, I was davening." Says, "Okay, yes, who?" Says, "Yeah, I was done with my son Chaimo." I said, "Why?" He goes, he's a strashless in learning. I was making sure I daven that he should have a chizuk in learning.
What does that mean?
What it means is that you have to also daven. That's what it means.
Why the daven? What does it mean? I'm davening for my son Chaim. My son Chaim
needs. That's what it means.
He canceled the Seder.
So he was wrong or
I don't know. He wasn't sure. You know, I don't know. Maybe he was wrong. I don't know.
I mean, if
he's
wrong.
On Kanievsky levels, I don't know.
On the side that it wasn't true.
No, but the point is that he davened for him. He at the time the Reb Chaim Kanievsky was sick over 60. He was over 60.
Oh, go with him. What do you have in mind to say?
Oh,
this.
Okay, if you're all finished, I'll
yeah, we're all yeah, we're all finished.
He asked for the circle.
We're
all finished. Yeah, several left.
I mean, the only reason I'm not screaming at you is so they respect you.
So first of all, that's not true. The only reason that they are, what'd you say? The only
not screaming at you and running around the classroom like chickens
is because they
either respect you or scared of you.
You know, one time we had a, I wouldn't call him a great mechanic, he was a Jewish educator. He was a great educator. He gave a lot of professional development classes. I think he's a good educator, but he's not a Torah-dick a person, necessarily. And one time I asked him when he was teaching the Rebbeim, giving us a lesson on professional development. I asked him many years ago, to be a good teacher, Rebbe, do you have to like stand in front of the room? Supposed to stand? So he said, what do you mean? Why would you have to stand? He goes, I know, for control, for classroom management, you have to stand. So he said, no. He said, I would have the same control in my classroom if I was sitting on the floor in the back corner of the room. I'm going to explain. So once you get the nuts and bolts of classroom management, so it's not nogea where you stand. Your presence is all over. And I mamish know what he means. I wouldn't sit on the... I sometimes want to sit on the floor and I'm afraid I wouldn't be able to get up. But you have control of the classes no matter where you are. They say that sometimes you go and you have like show bias over the whole room. You open the window, you know, they say a shtick you could do. But little kids, it's monogia. Like, you know, fifth grade. You go over the window. I've seen people, new teachers do this because they went to the same class probably. They go over, they open the window. They're middle teaching, they open the window. Okay, so they go around, you know, and then like 5 minutes later, go over, close the window. But doing all those things to show that I am fully in charge of the room. I'll take the garbage can and move it to the other corner.
Does that help?
It helps. Yes, a lot of things you do. You know, fix over the tail. You know, put that safer, please, on that shelf. I know. I think it helps all grades. No, you just... You are in charge. You are it. When you're in that room, you are it. No one messes. No messes. You have to feel... There's a maestro with... they say Napoleon. He wanted to see how his people were doing in France. So he used to show up places, you know, just walk in and see how we're doing. He didn't... Incognito, so to speak.
Like artists?
Incognito. So he would, whatever. So he once wanted to see how the school system's doing. So he went to a French public school and he walked into the room and he just stood in the back and the teacher just went on teaching. 25 minutes, 30 minutes, 30 minutes. The teacher dismissed the kids to go play. And then the teacher, as soon as the last person went out, the teacher said to the Napoleon, "You know, sir, I'm honored to have you." Napoleon says, "What? You knew I was Napoleon the whole time?" He says, "Well, yes." "And you didn't stop and you didn't make the kid stand up?" He says, "No, I didn't do that." He said, "Why?" So the teacher said, "Because I needed the students needed to know that I am the most feared person in this classroom. Can't be anyone else more." That's why the worst thing a teacher could do is send a kid to the principal. You want to show that you have no control. I don't know.
Whenever the principal walks in the classroom, the teacher just comes second in command for those few minutes.
The teachers coming into the principal coming into the classroom was a distraction to this point. As a separate thing, but the teacher has to know when you send a kid to the principal, you are basically saying that I cannot control you, and you're telling him I'm weak, can't do it. I'll never send a kid to the principal. And I would tell, you know, when I was a principal, I would tell every teacher, don't send anyone to me. First of all, I will guarantee that nothing's going to happen to him. What's going to come to me? What am I going to do to him? I can't hit him.
Suspend him.
Suspend there every time because he jumped up and down.
Whatever the regular punishment.
What? There is no regular punishment.
There's no punishment.
Assignments, no.
A teacher that sends you one kid, two kids, three kids, it's time to look for another teacher.
Really, so many times, whether in elementary school or in high school, in general, you see that. the kids are sent to high school. It's a very correct time. Life.
They don't know what they're doing, that's why. I don't think it's a principle.
I don't know, from my understanding, like, Kenneth is more into that. So you don't become friends with the Rebbe. But, like, also, how does Rebbe keep...
You can't be friends with the Rebbe.
Yeah, sure.
Rebbe has, like, close sharing.
It happens to be that, you know, I do have close charm, but I do not start the beginning of the year. You can't rush a relationship. A lot of young, not young, new, not so much more than new than young, they rush the relationship. So they like want to be mashpia all over them, and the kids sense like someone's moving in on my turf. They don't like it. It's a turnoff. You gotta play it cool. There's an expression in baseball for the baseball fans here. It's a 162 game schedule. Yeah, stop gloating at your first place in May. Yeah, let's see what we're holding in August, you know, September. So you don't have to have the relationship with the kid in September or October. I told one kid in my shir, I said, whatever, don't say what it is. I said, you know, I was very tight with his brother. So I says, I'm really tight with your brother. You know that? He said, yeah. He says, I just want to tell you, when he was in my shir, I did not say a word to him until Purim. So we don't need to talk until Purim. As I told him. Because I know what he's thinking. Okay. He's thinking like, oh, he's close to my brother, now he's expecting me to be close. I just took all the heat off. I don't need to talk to you. I don't go over to them. They come to me, I talk to them, but then beginning of the year, they're all nervous. Like what's he gonna do? You know, what's he expecting? Am I going to invade their privacy? Are they going to be uncomfortable? Is it be cringy? You know, a little cringy sometimes, you know. In third week of school, you invite them to your house for Shabbos. Like, you invite your house for Shabbos, like, they're going to have to be in pajamas. I don't know. It's like
not
that. What? I'm talking about base manager. Base manager is different. No, I'm base manager is totally different. Totally. I'm not talking about base manager. But in high school, you gotta play it, you know, a little slow, take it slow, and allow have confidence in the system that it's gonna work. You gotta do certain things. You gotta do a spatzir here and there, and you do a, you know, an eye. You gotta come up with excuses to celebrate and do different shtick, and you know. But it all builds up to one thing. Okay, what else you got? We're ready for my topic?
Yeah, I'm ready to answer
the question.
What was the question again?
How are you supposed to keep control? What makes you keep control?
The guy or the Rebbe?
So, we said you could sit on the floor in the back.
You know, what makes it that you're able to sit on the floor in the back?
First of all, presence, having a plan, having a lesson, and following through on the lesson. Like, you put on the board, the beginning of class, that today you're writing four kashas, three terutzim, and a proof. You put that on the board. Today you start the class. Today we're doing four kashas, three terutzim, and one proof. And at the conclusion of this, you will know all four kashas, three terutzim, and a proof. I have a worksheet here that everyone will be doing. I'm not grading it, but I will look to see how you did. Everybody wants Tati to be proud of them. You don't say that, but you just say, I'm going to look at them. I give a worksheet sometimes by Night Seder, okay, now. And the worksheet. I say, guys, you're not being graded on it. Just, you need to turn it in at the end of Night Seder.
But how about copying? How about copying from each other?
They'd rather copy than just sit with the chavrusa and learn it. Like I said, you're gonna have to know this. So night seder, we did it in shir, but here's your chazara by night seder. It's easy question. I don't think I just write the questions quick. For bechina, I work much harder on the questions, you know, to get them. But like I gave bechina today, most of the questions was I underlined. Oh. I underlined a. Can you hand me the phone? We'll find it on the right. Don't turn it on, just... No, so we have two phones, one for the principal and one for I only use this phone for phone calls. It doesn't have a SIM card, but...
You're sticking a speaker in this
phone. We're going to record right now.
Okay. Thank you. What was he saying?
Right, I was saying you keep they get a feeling of that they shouldn't be doing anything when there's just orderliness.
Yeah, you're in control, and you're holding them accountable. So that's why they don't run around, because they see you're in control, and then you take those things and you give it back the next day with a mark on it that you looked at it, and you give them credit. I take attendance every day. Every day, once at the beginning of Shir, and once beginning of after recess. I take attendance twice a day, and I tell them like this. When I take attendance, I said, "You're here. You deserve the credit for being here. That's why I'm taking the time to take attendance, because if you're here, I want the people that are here to get the credit for being here. And when I do grades, I give credit for just being here. That's why I take attendance. I tell them it's old Marshall, but I don't think I ever said that to this group. There are two sides of the street. Okay, on the side of the street, there are two houses on the corner. Okay, both fenced in. Both have toddlers by the front gate. One is laughing on one side of that street, and one is crying on the other side of the street. One mother told the toddler that I locked the gate so you can't get out and hurt yourself. And one mother told the toddler, I locked the gate so nobody can get in and hurt you. So which one is which? Which mother, which kid is crying and which kid is laughing? From which mother? Yeah, okay. The one who's crying, who's what?
The one that's crying. No, one's crying. Right.
That's the one who's laughing.
No, it's
right.
Crying.
No, that's correct. Avram is right. The one who's laughing, the mother said, "I locked the gate so no one can get in to hurt you," and the one that's crying, "I locked the gate so you can't get out and hurt yourself." It was like a lack of trust. So it's the same thing with these things. You take attendance. Why are you taking attendance? So you can catch the guy who's not there. I'm not looking at the guy. I want to give the guys who are here credit.
You know what I mean.
So when I say it, I don't say it. This may help answer. How do you say things make a very difference? So I'm taking attendance for the guys who are. No. LA called you.
Who?
So I was texting you.
Okay.
Fine.
Washington
Saginaw. So it's just you have to be smart. You always have to speak like the toddler who's locking the gate so that no one can come in and hurt them. I'm taking attendance so that you can get credit, not to get the guy who's not here. It's mamela. If anyone thinks about it, that's also, oh, I'm giving credit to people here. Oh, you're not giving credit to people not here. No one ever said that. No one thinks that. Okay, what else you got?
Please stop that.
Please.
Can I make a private point? Stand up, or is that showing?
Okay, so that happened to me yesterday.
Rebbe was
the Rebbe. And Rabbi Dreyfus walked in. Now, he walked into the class. You know, Dreyfus, he's like very, he tiptoed in, and all the boys were mamish holding an achazisha, preparing for Bechina. They were mamish holding in the deepest of the deep, as Rav Shlomo would say. The deepest of the deep. And he came in the back. No one even saw him. He came in the back. The boys are facing me, and he came in the back of the room. So no one saw him. So, and I know, middle of everything. So I didn't do anything. And then I thought he just wanted to sit in on the shear. So I didn't say anything. But after like 2 minutes, Jeffrey said, "I'm sorry to interrupt, but I otherwise I won't get in. I need to announce the new schedule or whatever." That's why I'm sorry, Jeffrey. I'm so sorry. I thought he was coming in just, you know. Who wouldn't? It was Amish. They were. It was Sunday at 12:40, and he. There was not a break in the action. You know, they were all holding. You know.
What are you doing? You work with a kid that's like being negative. It's very hard. Like, all the kids are into it, and then one can.
You know, positivity is very contagious.
He's also what did Rabbi do?
With what?
Did they stand up for him or not?
No, as soon as he stopped, I said, "Oh, I'm so sorry." And then, I don't know.
And in general, we should use.
I believe that if the Manal comes in, any Rebbe comes in, any Rebbe, we don't make the kids. I don't know why, but we don't make the kids stand up for us when we go in. We don't do it. I don't know. But we do. We should have the kids stand up when another Rebbe comes in. If I was in a classroom, and any Rebbe in our yeshiva would walk in, Rabbi, you know, Danziger, Rabbi Blinder, Rabbi Goldman, walk into the classroom, I would say, Rabbi, Rebbe walked in. Now, will they figure out that they should stand up when I walk in also? No, probably not. But but only else they should know. They should know that you treat a Rebbe differently is the Kabbalah Torah.
Should
you
stand up for another Rebbe? Or will that
I think so, yeah. I think so. No, I don't think so. I would stand up, sure.
Wouldn't that ruin the power of the classroom? That what you're saying, that every teacher has the power of the classroom.
It will if the Rebbe does it too often. You know, I'll lock the door.
Appointments.
I heard of a great Rebbe. It was a great Rebbe. He said that you cannot have your class interrupted. So there was once a Manal who he had installed into his office an intercom system where he can speak into every classroom or individual classroom. So he loved it. And every day he would, like, you know, I remember I was in the classroom, I was in 7th grade, 8th grade, you would hear, there were three bangs, 1, 2, 3, 4 bangs. And then he would start talking. There's going to be a special assembly, everyone should go. By dismissal today, everyone should remember to take their tefillin. We do it all the time. So this Rebbe told me, who became a very became a principal and a consultant, and he told me that when he was a Rebbe in that yeshiva, and I was in that yeshiva, he wasn't my Rebbe, but he told me that one Sunday afternoon when nobody was around, he went into the school and he brought a ladder with him and he climbed into the ceiling tiles and he found the wires and he cut the wires.
He should have wanted you to do it.
He cut the wires.
Isn't that like
Kasher? Is that 1 second? Can't ask Kasher to the mice. Rebbe, can't ask Kasher to the mice.
So what's Rebbe's topic?
What's
Rebbe's topic?
No, the principal goes into the room. First of all, he's holding everyone responsible, accountable. What happens if the principal comes in and the Rebbe's not there? When does the principal walks in and the kids are not there? I tell you a great miser. When I was Manal, so there was a base manager guy was tight with a high school kid, and the base manager guy came to me and told me that this high school kid, you know, I'm just telling you if you want to do anything about it, but you can't tell him that I told you. I said, okay, what is it? He said, you know, he was, I think, an 11th grader, and he got a speeding ticket. And he said that if his parents find out that he got a speeding ticket, they're going to kill him. So he found out a way to get the points off. You go to school. You go to a driving school. 3 sessions, and you get the thing off. So he just left school, and he went to this driving school, like a few blocks, like a couple of miles from here. He's like on his own with all the, you know, shcharim. So so I'm just letting you know. So okay, fine. But please don't say no. I'll never tell you. Don't worry, never tell you. So I walked into the class, that class, and Rebbe was in the front, and I made like I had to give him something or get something. He didn't know why. And I said, is everyone here? He said, yeah, everyone's here. I said, oh, where's so-and-so? Oops. He says, he was here. He just left. I said, okay, fine. Is he here? He says, here. Okay, fine. Now what am I going to do? Okay, so I leave. I come. I know he's not there. So I come back to my, I found another excuse to come back into the room. So the Rebbe, I never told the Rebbe either. So the Rebbe probably thinks I'm a big nudnik. So I come back 15, 20 minutes later. Everyone stands up again, you know. And I hand him something. I walk out. I said, oh, he's not back yet? He says, yeah, that's strange. He should be back. Okay. You know, let me know if he shows up. The Rebbe's like still, you know, not on it. So I had to come back 20 minutes later. And 20 minutes later, another excuse. All the kids stand up again. And I go in. I said, I handed him the thing. I said, he's not here. Where is he? He says, I don't know. So I said, I've got to look for him. He's not, you know, I know he's not around. I have to look too far. I didn't look anywhere. I said, I look for him. He's not around. So the Rebbe has recess. And I said, could you ask the guys if they know where he is? I said, no one knows where he is. I said, I checked everywhere. He's not here. I said, I have to call the parent. He said, I don't know. Maybe he left. I don't know. So I called the parent. And I said, you know, I'm sorry. I totally apologize for reporting this, but, you know, your son was here, but we haven't seen him in like an hour and a half. He's just not here. I just going to make sure everything's okay. He says, what? That's ridiculous. Of course he's there. I said, okay, I'm hoping, but I checked everywhere. He's just not here. And does he have a car? Does he have a car? He said, yeah. He said, I suspect that there's something to do with the car. So that's what I said to him. So the parent says, no, he would never use the car. I said, okay, but Baruch Hashem, because that would make me nervous. So then the parent calls me about 5 minutes later. He says, I spoke to him. He's there. He says he was in the upstairs bathroom. So I said, oh, okay, fine, but I went to the upstairs bathroom. So I went there. He goes, well, probably when you went there, he was went to the other side, and they came that the other way. I said, okay, fine. Then I know he's not there. Anyway, he told the father, called him, and the kid said, I'm there. I'm in the upstairs bathroom. They probably didn't check there. And then I told the father I did check there. Then running, momish from, this is in the old building, Sunday First Street. He's running down the street. I see him. He comes into the building, you know, panting. He comes into the building. And I said, oh, how you doing? I'm so glad you're here. I was momish looking for you. We couldn't find you. Your Rebbe said you were here, but then you weren't here. Where were you? So he says, I was here. I just went outside for a minute. I said, okay. An hour and a half. I was in the bathroom, and then I went there. I didn't say one word. Okay, fine. I'm glad you're well. Fine. Anyway, that night, 11:30 at night, I got a bang on my door. I come to the front door. I was living here. I opened the door, and it was the kid and his father. And they say, my son has a confession. You were right. He was such and such. Many times, the whole truth happened. I said, oh, thank God he's okay. Thank you for telling me. Then the father called me the next day. He says, I will never doubt you'll get. You just have this sense. I know I should have told him, but I couldn't.
What was the reason to bring him in? What was the reason to, like, to bring this boy in?
I wanted the parents to know that you're giving your kid a car, he's speeding, he's not telling you what's going on, he's going to driving school, he's basically scamming you, he's not in school, like, you can't trust a kid who's holding at that level of, like, well, you just can't, it's like certain, you know, you just can't trust certain ages, and he's not ready for that level of independence. So, Mela, I had a Maisa once with a, there was a kid, there was a Shabbaton here, I'm pretty sure I was the Rebbe, it was a 10th grade Shabbaton, and parent called and said, I'd asked if some kids could stay at their house, and they said, parents said yes. Some kids, me and Northland Beach, stay at their house. And then, like a few days later, the parents called to say, you know, something came up and we have to go away for Shabbos. I'm not going to be here. Do you think that us not being there, no parents will be home, you have such a busy schedule, do you think it's okay for the kids to still stay at my house? Normally, I would think that's not okay because there's no one there, but they're such, you know, such a busy schedule. There's like no downtime. So I made a mistake. I was still young, and what do you call it? I said that this kid was the best kid in the school. The best kid. Balmidos, Balkishan, everything from everything. I said, I told the parents, you know, normally I would say no way, 10th grader, no way. But in your son's case, I think it'll be okay. If he's ready to, I think it'll be okay in your case. You know, because we are so busy that they're not getting Friday night done at 1 o'clock at night. And then, let's say Shabbos, they're not sleep. No, all the kids are going home. And all the meals are taken, davening, there's like no downtime. So they said, okay. So they did. They left him there. Yeah. And Shalosh Shudas, I came to Shalosh Shudas, and no one from that house was there. Said, oh, that's not good. I know the parents aren't there. I said, okay. I was really exhausted. And I had no energy to do it. And I said, I'm going to regret it if I don't do it. You just have to be responsible. There's no one here. And I told the parents, that's okay, so I better go. So I got up and I walked 5 blocks in the wrong direction to check on them. And I was about to knock on the door. I said, you know, before I knock on the door, let me just look in through a side window.
That's what's all right.
I have no idea. That's why we learn halacha every day. I hadn't learned it yet.
Before Shabbos?
I couldn't believe what I saw. The kids were there, you know, sitting bare chested, watching a college football game.
Shabbos.
You know, it was already, you know.
Shabbos.
Still, you know, it was like that. You know, it was like, I don't know what it was. It wasn't like broad daylight. They wouldn't do that. But they had probably had not time on. Someone probably was more ahead there. That it's, you know, what do you call it? It was probably a big game. It wasn't like they just desperate to watch it. It was probably a game. I couldn't believe it. Now, then I knocked on the door. You know. So they don't know that I saw anything. So it's taken a long time. I said, "You need to open up this. You know, you're all late. Open this door." So they had to open the door. They knew that. So they opened the door and.
Did they
were trying to roll it down. And this poor kid who lived in the house was—he wasn't part of this. He was cleaning up. He was in the kitchen cleaning up, so his parents don't see the wreck. That they made, and I, you know, then just like instinct took over. I said, guys, the Shabbaton is over. So get dressed, and Shabbos will be over. we're going to daven Maariv, mm-hmm. and you can be going home. Now, we had big events planned that night, major stuff. So the Shabbaton's over, and I had to call all the parents.
So that
everyone. I called every parent, including the one who went away. I called the parents and said, I'm so sorry. I gave you this advice. This is what happened. And it's my duty to call you, as embarrassed as I am that happened. But you need to know that's what happened. And parents got on the plane. First thing in the morning, I give them credit. They were here by like 8 in the morning. And they let their son have it. He was just too weak. He was too weak to stop his friend. It wasn't totally his fault, but it was his fault. Like, his parents would never let him do it again, would never put him in that situation again, but he took responsibility for it. So if you take responsibility for it, you gotta, so he learned his lesson. Don't take responsibility for things that you can't deliver on.
The whole job that was over for everyone, or just
for those 5 kids?
Told the parents about the TV?
I told the parents everything.
I
told the parents everything. they were devastated that in their house this happened. But I was embarrassed. I'm the Rebbe and principal. I was embarrassed that I make a Shabbaton and this is what goes on at a Shabbaton. Believe me, I was the one that felt like, you know, whatever. But, you know, you have a responsibility to the parents to be open and honest with them. And, you know, so sometimes you have to be open and honest and you don't end up looking good. You know, so you got to be, so I told them. So they, to this day, I've told this, I don't know if I told you guys ever this story, but I've told over this story when people ask me, you know, do you think I can trust my son too? I always tell over this story. Said this, that was the best kid in the school. I wouldn't trust a 10th grader to be in a home by himself.
Outside the house or outside of a computer?
Anything that requires responsibility. 10th graders are too young to take responsibility. I don't even know if I would leave them there themselves. I wouldn't even leave a 10th grader home alone. I probably wouldn't leave 11th grader either alone. 12th grader, you know, depends on the 12th grader, but probably not. Base manager guy, I would.
Base manager guy.
I'll tell you another thing. I know this is being recorded, but I guess you could leave it on. But there were somebody was asking if the Rashiva a Shaila on Yichud for a babysitter. So they want to know if boy's babysitting, you know, for a family, and the girl is, you know, whatever. There are two kids, and there's a 2-year-old and a 3-year-old, and you know. Like what's the, some question like that. I don't remember exactly what the ages were. So the Rashiva said that it's not a Yichud issue, but the boy shouldn't babysit. So we thought that maybe it was like a Bittul Torah type of thing. So he said, you know, it's the night Seder? No, it's not a problem. He's there with his chavrut, you know, I don't know. So he said, yeah, but in general, boy shouldn't babysit. You should know, the boys should not babysit. Rashiva held. Boys don't babysit. Boys don't babysit. Rashiva held that girls babysit, that motherly instincts. Boys don't babysit because there's unfortunately a lot of shmua in the world, and we stay away from all types of temptation. And no babysitting. I said, for girls? I said, no, for not anything. No girls, no boys. Boys don't babysit. So
even boys.
Boys don't babysit. Now, it's not a condemnation. It's a condemnation of all men, basically. So don't feel, but boys don't babysit. So, you know, you take a few things. When I saw this happen to this, it taught me a big lesson. A very big lesson. You cannot, you know, they're not old enough. A high school kid is capable under with Gadol Magabov be a Gavaldika, you know, starting out to be very mature, independent, take responsibility. Amazing, they could do amazing things. That guys to printing newsletters and they do it from soup to nuts. You know, it's really fantastic. It's fantastic. They could do a lot. They could do a lot, but you know, generally speaking, yet you know, as this is a parenting thing to remember that you know there's a reason why parents go to great lengths to you know not go away, and if they're going away, they take their kids with them. And you know, if you have the youngest child at home, usually ends up going traveling all around the world with the parents. Why? Because they can't leave the kid alone, and the parents have to go. You had that?
Always.
Yeah. If you're the youngest, that's what happens. You know, why? Because the parents, they're responsible, and they knew that you don't leave a kid alone. To what age? To high school, usually. I don't know.
I'm the youngest in a child at Borough Park, Williamsburg, and Government Valley.
He's a real New Yorker.
All right. Okay, so guys, now we have a great topic for next week.
Is that
a nether? It's a great vod because the topic of the vod comes from a vort on this week's parasha. But I know you'll excuse me if I say it on last week's parasha.
Or
whenever we say it.
The topic.
Not even the topic.
No,
maybe
I'll turn off the recorders first.
The topic is those people want to know: should they be a Rebbe? Do you think I could be a principal? So, what skills do you need to be a principal? So I was gonna go through that, and then. Yeah, it's all in there.
Shame they ever
had. Something like that.
Shame they ever principal of their own.
Okay, guys, thank you very much.